So the Christian life, y'all, is often epitomized or portrayed as a battle. You see it all throughout Scripture, that we battle in spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 says that, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers in high places, that we wrestle and struggle. We battle against unseen forces, that we battle against flesh and spirit. There's that part of us, y'all, that has some act right. We want to do what God tells us to do. That's the new nature, but there's also that old sinful nature too. And the two don't agree with each other. And so there's a struggle. There's a battle. There's a fight. That we battle against the world and its influences. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Does that mean that we can't enjoy good things in life, material possessions and houses, nice car? No, it doesn't mean that. But those things cannot own us. Listen, beloved, the world and the world's system, the world's values do not match up with God's value, kingdom values, because they will have us in a place where we're not aligned to the ways of God. But we're always in a constant struggle. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. And although we get these wonderful imageries, these portrayals of what it looks like to be in a battle, that we're to stand fast, to be prepared, to be equipped, I think we can admit it sometime, y'all, we get weary. That we grow weary in warfare. I know y'all looking at me strange. Anybody been there before? That we can look real good right now, y'all. That we can look strong, and the week was good. Hopefully it was a good week, but have you ever been in a place where you've grown weary in the midst of battle? Have you ever felt like you had to cope with combat stress like a warrior that's in the battle? Have you ever felt the stress and the strain of living in this life and in this world and still trying to be a Christian to do it God's way? But sometimes it gets heavy, y'all. Sometimes it gets real heavy. Is there anybody in here today? Listen, you're looking at the uncertainty of life, and you're sick and you're tired. That you're looking at political polarization in the world today, in our society today, and you're tired. Anybody dealing with trouble in a close relationship? That you're struggling and straining, and maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a close loved one, and it's been a struggle, it's been a strain. Maybe you've had to deal with loss and grief in your life, or some other significant life event, and you feel like you're in a battle, that there's this invisible enemy. You cannot touch it or him, but you feel it and you sense it, and you feel the weight and the battle and the stress and the strain. So I'm wondering, on this Sunday morning, as we celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and we consider the struggles that we deal with, the battles that we go through, maybe what you're dealing with right now. Mental health struggles are real. Too often times we play it down as if it's not, but they are real. The struggle is real. Can I get a witness? The struggle, it is real. But guess what, y'all? Even people of great faith, strong men and women still struggle with mental health issues. We can struggle with depression and anxiety and fears and worries like everybody else can. And so I want to prove out my point. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19 as we look at verses 1 through 13. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 13. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. In honor of the God of Scripture, if you are able to stand, please stand. Again, we're so grateful for all of our guests that are here today. Again, those that are tuned in online, I'm glad we've got some moms and dads and some relatives and some cousins and uncles and all those folks that are in the house today. Thank you so much for your presence today. For all of our guests that are new to the area, we thank you for being a part of our ministry today here at Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. If by chance you don't have a church home, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church, amen, your church. I'm not looking at any, I'm just looking in some directions. Your church of choice. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 13. Again, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it says this: "When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. Ever said that before? "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. There was the sound of a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, fighting against battle fatigue. Battling fatigue. Fighting against battle fatigue. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Okay, don't know if you've ever been there before. Yeah. We find in the text this morning that Elijah was there. If I could admit to you, listen, I've been there before. And I think if you were honest with me, you've been there before as well. I know that you are a born-again believer, some say, fire baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, all of that, that's all good. But all of us get tired. We grow weary in this Christian walk, in this spiritual battle at some point. But the good news in the text today is that God met and ministered to the prophet Elijah in the middle of his struggle. And here's the good news for us: that God will meet you where you are. That God will meet you in the middle of your struggle, and God will minister to you, and God will help you in your strain and in your struggle. So in our text for today, there's this evil king by the name of Ahab, the king of Israel. He has a wicked wife by the name of Jezebel. I would, in your spare time, if you'd read the story that we're talking about today, I'm going to give you the short and skinny, the cleft notes, but read it. It's a great story about God's power. That Ahab and Jezebel, they somehow told Israel that they could worship Yahweh, the God of Israel, the only true and living God, and they could worship Baal as well. That they could serve God, and they could serve a false idol. That it's okay if you serve God and you serve this world. But it's not true. And so God chooses Elijah as his representative to battle for him. The story gets good, y'all, that Elijah prophesies. He speaks, and the rain stops coming down from heaven. There's a drought in the land that lasts for a number of years. Finally got to the point, one would think that Jezebel and Ahab would have said, "Listen, he spoke, it stopped raining. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe Baal is not real." And so maybe they start serving God, tell the people something different. But they didn't do that. And so it gets to the point now where Elijah presented himself to Ahab. And he proposed a showdown at a place called Carmel. Some of y'all remember Baal in Mount Carmel, the great battle that took there. Short and skinny, after it's all done, Elijah does what he does. Listen, 450 prophets of Baal, false prophets, are now dead. That's right. And so Jezebel and Ahab, they get a wind of this. And Jezebel is upset. That's where we get to the story today. She said, listen, by this time tomorrow, listen, you're going to be dead. That she's on a search and destroy mission. And guess who is the object? It's Elijah. And so, as we look at this story, I want us to understand something. God meets us in our darkest moments with compassion, not condemnation. That God, he cared for Elijah, that God would send him food and rest and direction. So eventually God speaks in this still, small voice, in this quietness. He's able to calm his fears and send him on in his holy mission. God meets us in our darkest moments with compassion, not condemnation. So this Sunday, as we launch this new ministry, our Healing Hearts ministry, as I said to the folks this morning, listen, I want you to understand something. There is a segment of this ministry that we have now that if you're dealing with mental pain, if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with frustration, if you're dealing with the ups and the downs of life, that we have a component of this ministry that can now help minister to you and to me. And so we thank God for this area of ministry. Amen, somebody. But for the next moment, I want us to consider this story and how it relates to our struggles, the stuff that we deal with, the stuff that we go through, and see how it might help us. So in this fight against fatigue, we all battle fatigue at some point. It's important first for us to know this, that fatigue does not mean spiritual failure. Again, we go back to verses 1 through 4. I love the second service because I can take my time. We don't have another service to go. And so if we're a little longer, that's okay, y'all. It's going to be all right. Let's stop praying now. So verses 1 through 4, again, it says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me down, even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who already died. So Elijah, this great prophet of God, this powerful man of God, had a struggle. Elijah was a mighty and powerful man of God. God used him to perform many wonderful miracles that he prayed and it stopped raining. He was able to call down fire from heaven. He brings a widow's son back to life and he multiplies some food. Yet when he hears, y'all, that Jezebel wants to kill him, what would you think this mighty man of God would do? Who saw the miracle, wonder-working power of God, who knew what God could do firsthand, what would you think this strong man would do? Yeah, he ran. That he fled for his life. It is easy for us to look at the scriptures, y'all, and say, ooh, we Elijah, why did you do that? It's easy for us to stand back and critique and judge, but listen, I love the fact that the Bible is filled with so many wonderful true stories of people that live out their humanness. Too oftentimes, y'all, we try to deify people in the Bible. But they were human just like us. Elijah was a human being just like us. He felt aches and pains and fears and worries and distress, and they, just like we do. That many a good Christians would probably look at the text and say, Elijah the prophet, you should have stood like a man of God. You should have, you know, you should have stood strong. They would have quoted some scriptures to him and told him, hey, listen, let me sing you a gospel hymn or a song. Get back out on the battlefield, man. But it didn't happen that way. He was human. I found out something when it comes to emotion and mental struggle. If you've really been through some things, if you've really been through some pain, sometimes the solutions really aren't that simple. Sometimes it's not as simple as just giving person a scripture. Right. It's not saying let's have a word of prayer real quick and it'll all be over. Sometimes it's just not that simple. I found out something in this life that I live in. Sometimes the answers, you can't give people just pat answers, just, oh, whatever. And yet I know that we are the people of God. We ought to speak faith. We ought to live by faith. We walk by faith. And I know all of that. I know all of that's true. But if you ever live for a little while, you've really been through some stuff. Sometimes the pat answers just don't, they just don't work. Sometimes, y'all, we have to accept what God allows. Even when we do not understand, we still have to stand under the authority and the power of God Almighty. Even when we just have to accept what God allows sometimes. But that's why I'm so glad for Galatians chapter 6 in verse 9 where it says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. God divinely inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words, not just for the churches in that day as they fought against the warring factions that stood against them, but it's a word for us today. It's a word that says that we can exercise the freedom of our faith and our trust and our belief in God, that God will be with us. I don't think Paul would have said that. I don't think God would have given us this word from Galatians unless he knew there would be a day that would come that we would worry, that we would be under stress and strain. So this word is for us. How many here today, you're tired of fighting? You're tired of the struggle. Physically, you're tired. And because you're physically tired, maybe emotionally and psychologically, you are tired. That maybe you're dealing with burnout. Maybe you feel like you're going to break down at any moment. Maybe it's depression. Maybe whatever it is, that you're just tired. But the good news for us, we can bring our tiredness. We can bring our weariness to God. And God will help us in our time of need. Amen. And I found out something, that although we have mental health issues, not every issue carries the same weight. That sometimes we're just dealing with the frustrations and the ups and downs of life. And so we may experience a little bit of anxiety. But I also believe that major depression is very real. That there is a chemical reaction that takes place in the brain. It's very real, and people are dealing with heavy issues when you deal with major, major depression, and sometimes you need a little bit of help. I believe that in Elisha's situation, that he really expected that God would rescue him pretty early in the game, that when he prophesied to Ahab and Jezebel and told them what was going to happen, that they would turn real quickly and say, okay, let's serve the true. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen that way. And because the battle was so long, because the fight was so long, because the struggle was so long, this great man of God, that he grew weary, he grew tired. He was disappointed. He lived in despair and fear, fatigue, that Elijah was just tired. No wonder he felt exhausted. No wonder he felt vulnerable. Wouldn't you feel that way? If you take off your halo, perhaps wouldn't you feel that way? You've been serving God for a long time, and now you have to deal with this. Somebody wants to kill you. But Elijah's not alone, y'all. Listen, you go through scripture, Job said the same thing. He said, Job said, God, I wish you would cut off my life. It was Moses that all said, because I'm dealing with these hard-headed people, God, go ahead and kill me. I'm tired. Then we talked about Jeremiah last week in our Bible study. He felt the same way. God, go ahead and take me out. Just take my life. Seemed like it would take us a whole lot to get to that place. And sometimes we may utter those words. Maybe there's someone here, you've uttered those words and you really mean it. I need to let you know you got some help here today. That you don't have to take your own life. That God is your life and God is your strength. I need you to hear me today. And that if you're in that place, in that dark place right now, there is help for you. And after today's worship experience, go and see some folks from our Healing Hearts ministry. They will help you. We will help you. We will pray with you. We will give you educational resources and tools that you need to survive. But for most of us, listen, it's just really dealing with life. Again, because life be lifing. And although we have health issues, mental health issues, they carry some form of weight for all of us. They can all be heavy. So, in addition to Elisha's story, battle fatigue, he shows us something else in the text. First, again, he shows us that fatigue does not mean spiritual failure. And you need to know that today. Because we live under this umbrella, this taboo, this false thinking, because I'm dealing with something, I'm a Christian, there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just dealing with life. You're dealing with real stuff. But pastor, but preacher, I prayed about it, it's still not better. Yet sometimes it's like that, y'all. Sometimes you need a little bit of help. But fatigue does not mean that it's spiritual failure, that God can refresh you and renew you and restore you. So in addition to this, Elisha's story of battle fatigue shows that God provides care for the whole person. Go down to verses 5 through 8 again. Then he lay down. This is Elijah. He lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there was beside his head some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. I don't know about y'all. I would have liked to have seen a plate filled with some turnip greens and some macaroni and cheese and some cornbread and some... I'm from the South, y'all. Forgive me. But he had some bread and some water. So he ate and drank and lay down. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So what did he do? He got up and ate and drank. The food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. And so we see, weary from his travels as a runaway prophet, Elijah lay down and slept under a small tree that gave him just enough shade from the hot desert sun. Elijah lay down and he slept and he rested. Man, do we need that when we're dealing with mental stress, to be able to lay down and to sleep and to rest. Perhaps there's someone here today that you're dealing with the ups and the downs of life, and you laid down last night but you did not sleep because your mind was heavy, your heart was heavy. Elijah lay down and he slept. He rested. That he was exhausted. And I don't care whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or relational, spiritual. Well, look, when you're tired, you're just tired. And we're susceptible to what's going on, to anxiety, to depression, to weariness. It happens. We cannot ignore the connection between physical and mental health. We need a break, y'all, from the continuous news that we're looking at on the television all day. We need to take a break, y'all, from the computer or from the cell phone. Sometimes we need to get alone and to get alone with God. We need a break, y'all. Sometimes we need to put the cell phones down. I love Psalm 127, verse 2, where it says this. "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Y'all, we can spend so much time trying to squeeze every ounce of every minute of every second of every day, y'all, that we suffer from burnout. We feel good sometimes, y'all, when we have 10 things on our checklist and we check each and every one of those boxes. That makes us feel real good. But then we're weary and we're tired and we're burnt out. What if you only got 5 accomplished? Can that not be enough? There are times, y'all, when your body needs to rest. And by rest, I don't mean lay back in the bed and flip through the cell phone, through TikTok and Instagram. By rest, I mean put the phone down. I mean make it quiet in the room. And if you're going to talk to him, talk to God in your moments. That, y'all, we worry about so much stuff. So much is going on around us. At any given moment, I don't care whether you're a believer or not, listen, there's anxiety on your mind. There's some weight in your mind. There's something you're struggling with even in this moment. But the Bible says not only did he give him rest, but the angel touched him and told him to get something to eat. That God supernaturally provides food and water for Elijah in the wilderness in a time of famine, y'all. Remember, there was a drought in the land. So it's a time of famine, but God supernaturally provides food for Elijah. It gives me the image of the water from a rock and bread from heaven that God gave to Israel when they were in the wilderness. If God can provide for all of our needs according to his riches in glory, in accordance with Scripture... Yeah, listen, most of us have so much food in the refrigerator, we don't know what to do. That our cupboards are full. Yeah, when we leave here, we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about what we're going to wear today or tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day. We don't have to worry about where our next penny will come from, where our next dollar will come from. But I'm amazed that we know all of this stuff, but as believers, why do we still worry? Why so much stress? Why so much strain when we know that God will take care of us? Do we walk by faith and not by sight? Do we really believe what God says in his word? That God will take care of us. Sometimes, y'all, we worry just to worry. And I can only talk about me. Sometimes in my life, y'all, when I had nothing to worry about, I start worrying because I didn't have anything to worry about. and I'm waiting for the next thing to worry about. But we don't have to do that. God will take care of us. I believe, y'all, that Elijah lay down and slept. Elijah was ready to call it quits. He was tired. That's what I believe. He was going to lay down, hope the Lord would take him in his sleep. That's how I want to, man, if the Lord could just take me in my sleep. Now, just take me. Just take. He wanted God to just go ahead and take me. But God revives him, y'all, in this alone place. Again, God provides food and water, but more important, God gives him his presence. By way of this angel, God lets him know that God is with him. He had not left him, nor had he forsaken him. God provides Elijah with his presence. He revives him and gives him strength to journey ahead. How long? 40 days and 40 nights to a place called Mount Sinai. That's important in Scripture. That was Moses' hangout. That was the children. That was their hangout. As Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness because of disbelief, Elijah spent 40 days in the desert as a result of his discouragement. And as Moses spent 40 days on the mountain without food and water, but God sustained him as he awaited his next assignment, that Elijah was in a holding pattern, waiting on God's next assignment. And maybe, just maybe, God has you in a place right now, in a holding pattern, where God is holding you in this season to your next assignment. That God has great things in store for you. God has purpose and a plan for your life. And maybe God's holding you. Maybe you're filled with mental distress and pain and hurt and anxiety and all of that. Maybe God is holding you right now. And God will show you what he wants you to do next. God communed with Elijah at Sinai to let him know that he still had a plan and a purpose for his life. Whatever you're dealing with in your life right now. Maybe you're feeling like it's all over. Maybe you're trying to say, I'm counting, I'm done, I'm out, I'm through with church, I'm through with church folk, I'm through with church, I'm just done, I'm done. Listen, God may have you in a holding pattern. So hold on, hold out and see what God has for you and for me. So here we are. So God has him in this holding pattern. God speaks to him. And this is what I love about this text, that God speaks to him, that God speaks in stillness. Again, we get to verses 9 through 13. Y'all, I'm going to let y'all go ahead and read that for yourselves, but y'all know the story. We read it before. So the morning after Elijah's arrival on the mountain, God asked him a question, y'all. What did he say? What are you doing here, Elijah? And so how does Elijah respond? How most of us would respond. That, God, you know, I'm going through some stuff, and I'm tired of these people. They won't do what I tell you to do. God, I'm tired. It sounds kind of like a whimper, like a whine. And we whimper and we whine too. So let's not point fingers at Elijah. I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altar, killed everyone. God, I'm the only prophet that's left. I'm the only one that's left alive. That he's consumed with his grief. He's consumed with his pain. So was he defending himself? Or was he perhaps implying that maybe God had failed him? Because the leadership certainly failed. That he preached, he prophesied to the people. They would not listen. And now here Jezebel, she's ready to kill him. But here's something I found out. That God never forces transformation on an unwilling heart. Let me say that again. That was real good. That God never forces transformation on an unwilling heart. That Elijah was not yet at a place where he could really receive and hear from God. Like, and sometimes in those alone places, God will pull you aside, put you in those places so that your heart can be transformed, so that you can truly hear from God and what God has for your life. And so God has a question for Elijah. What are you doing here? Why are you here? I often ponder that text. What did he mean when he said, Elijah, why are you here? Did he mean, Elijah, you're the prophet, you're my man. You're my representative. You're supposed to be back out there telling people about me. You're supposed to be out there prophesying, doing miracles. So why are you in this place that maybe you're out of joint? You're out of service. You're not in the place where you need to be. Or could it be when he asked Elijah, God asked, what are you doing here? Maybe it's something a little deeper. Find out something about God. God will never ask you a question because he wants the answer. God will ask you a question so that you can self-reflect and figure out why God is asking you the question. That maybe he's saying to Elijah, why have I led you here? Why have I led you, Elijah? You were run away. You were ready to give. But I led you to Sinai. I led you to this great place. I led you to this alone place. So Elijah, you can hear you can hear from me. And so God responded to Elijah's tirade by revealing himself. We see that in the text. But he doesn't do it in a forceful or spectacular way as perhaps Elijah would have expected. I mean, reading the story, that's what I would have. I mean, this is Elijah. God, do something miraculous. Do something spectacular. But God didn't do that. That God speaks to him in a gentle whisper. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when people speak to me in a whisper, that's when I can really lean in, because I'm trying to hear what you have to say to me. That God didn't come in the earthquake or the fire. That he didn't come in a spectacular, but God comes to Elijah in a whisper. Y'all, when things are exploding all around us, when the bombs are bursting in the air of anxiety and pain and frustration, sometimes it's good for us to be in that alone place where God can speak, mother, that still, small voice. Somebody needs to know today that God is speaking to you. You need to hear his voice today. That God is telling you, I promised I would never leave you, nor would I forsake you. That somebody, God wants to speak to somebody this morning. Says the storms may be raging in your life, but you can cast all your cares upon him because God cares for you. That God speaks to him in this still, small voice. I love Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, where it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you would experience God's peace. Then you would experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is not a command to suppress our emotions. This is not to say, listen, what you're not going is real. It is real. But we need to find ourselves in a place, in that alone place with God, and hear his still small voice. And God whisper to us to help us out of our situation. Eventually, God comforted Elijah. We know the rest of the story. Listen, he said, you're not the only prophet. You thought you were the only one, Elijah, but you're not by yourself. That he had some 7,000 prophets that would not bow the knee to Baal. Elijah, you're not alone. And if you're here today, you're not alone. You're dealing with some stuff in your life, but you're not by yourself. You're dealing with some heartache and some pain, but you're not alone. You're serving God, and you're serving God well, but you're going through Hades, but you're not alone. There are others that are around you that will help you in your time of need. That's why I'm so grateful for the church, that we can be there for one another, support one another when we're going through our issues of life. God told him too, listen, I got three men. I got Haziel, Jehu, and I got the prophet Elisha, and they have not bowed the knee. It would be these three, y'all, when you look at biblical history, that would go and destroy, that they would finish what Elijah started, that they would destroy Baal worship in Israel. Elijah, y'all, this mighty man of God, this prophet of God was weary and tired. But he experienced, y'all, a temporary mental meltdown. God provided for his needs physically, spiritually, mentally, and he speaks into Elijah's quietness. The one common thread that I see in this text, y'all, that I love so much. Let's hear to the folks this morning. One thing that great takeaway is that God continues to speak. That Elijah, he's upset, he's afraid, he runs, he's alone, he's filled with anxiety, he's ready to die. He prays, he talks to God, and God talks back to him. That's what I love about God in times of anxiety. If you speak to God, and you're listening, and you're leaning in, God will speak back. Elijah was ready to die, but he prayed, he talked to God, and God kept on talking to him. Tell y'all a story in my life. Years ago, COVID broke out, that great pandemic. I hope y'all remember the pandemic. You still remember that? I remember one morning standing in the kitchen next to the refrigerator. And my mind began to wonder, y'all, about all the things that were taking place at the time. By this time, my father-in-law had already passed away, had died of COVID. He died in the hospital. No family members around him. We couldn't get in. Could barely talk to him on the phone. All we could do was get word from the nurses, the attendants, what was going on with him. And finally, the day came, they said that he's no longer here. Remember feeling how frustrated the family must have been that the daddy died, but we couldn't hold his hand. We couldn't tell him in that moment how much we loved him. But my mind began to marinate. I began to think, how many other people would die? This is early in the game, y'all, of COVID, and I'm thinking about the people that I love and cherish in this ministry, in this church, and I'm wondering how many people might die. Mother, how many funeral services might we have to have? And I remember, y'all, and I'm just telling you the truth in that moment, I was thinking, God, well maybe if I leave here before they leave here, it was probably selfish thinking, I won't have to deal with these funerals. But it was in that moment that God spoke to my heart in that still small voice. As I bowed my head and I prayed, and God told me, he said, I'm with you. I promised I would never leave you nor forsake you. That Kevin, no matter what happens, I'm with you. You have to trust my presence. You have to trust my plan. I will not leave you. Did my circumstances change in the moment? Did the environment change in the moment? No, it did not change. But guess what? God changed the environment on the inside of me. That when I lifted up my head, I lifted up my head with joy. I lifted up my head with faith. I lifted up my head with trust in a God who will always be with us, who will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. I was in the panic room, but God allowed me to jump over into the praise room. And if you're here today, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your mental condition is, but I do know God can take you from the panic room to the praise room. That God can lift up your head. God can lift up your heart. God can cause you to see better in the darkness. That God is with you. That God is with me. The God who is light is the God that is with us in the dark places. That when you're weary and you're burdened and you're worn, that promise, God promises to give you and me his eternal rest. So that's our sermon for today. If you're dealing with mental anguish, you're tired of the battle, you're tired of the struggle, know that God's word is true. As he was with Elijah, he will be with you. But I dare you to do this. Keep on talking to God. And the church said amen. Hallelujah. So what can we take away from today's sermon? Again, I hope you go back and read chapter 18, chapter 19. Some takeaways. Listen, we need to be honest. It's okay to say that you're not okay. You hear me? Men, it's okay to say that you're not okay, because we're real bad about that. Believer, it's okay to say that you're not okay. It doesn't mean that you're not spiritual, that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It means that you're just tired and you're like everybody else at some point in life. God already knows, so you may as well admit it. Also know this, some solutions aren't always so simple. And that's why I'm so glad that we've launched this new ministry. Because we need to minister to the whole person. To the spiritual man, to the physical, we tell people, listen, you need to make sure you got your vaccination. You need to make sure that you got your diabetes in check, your high blood pressure in check, your vertigo in check. You need to make sure you're checking everything. You got it in check, y'all, to the best of your ability. The physical side, you need to eat right. You need to exercise. I ain't throwing no stones at nobody, y'all. Eat right and exercise, but there's that emotional and psychological component, too, that needs to be ministered to. And we have leaders. We have folks here that can help you. And we can help one. And then reach out. You don't have to suffer in silence. Talk to your pastor. Talk to a counselor. Talk to somebody. Talk to a friend about what you're dealing with. And again, care for your body and your soul. Rest. Eat well. Take a walk. Pray. Then practice presence. Spend time with God. Even when words fail, Lord knows, even when words fail. Have you ever had to pray, but you just didn't have the words to pray? All you can do is bow your head in God's presence and maybe let tears flow from your eyes. I believe that God understands the language of your teardrops. So speak to God the best that you can. Practice his presence. And then this final thing, y'all, a takeaway. Support others. Be a safe space, y'all, for somebody else that's through. Yeah, you go through, I go through, but can you be a safe space for somebody else that's deep? And when you see the signs, y'all, when you see that they're worn, that they're weary, ask the question, what's going on with you? What do you need? If you can help them, help them. If not, there are resources. There are tools. There are people that are part of this, our Healing Hearts ministry, that can help with them. But know that when you're dealing with battle fatigue, you don't have to stay there. I believe this, that God wants to take you from a place of rest to a place of refreshment, and God wants to restore you to a better place in Him. And the church said, amen, amen. Praise God. Come on, give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you, oh God, how it ministered to our hearts. The reality is we all deal with anxiety at some point. We all deal with different levels of mental health issues. Nothing to be ashamed of. We pour out our hearts to you. God, help us to be there for one another. Thank you for this ministry that we've ignited, we've launched, oh God, so that we can minister to the whole person. God, for anyone under the sound of my voice, the struggle is really real for them in this moment, oh God. May they get up today and they go out and they talk to someone to let them know what they're experiencing. God, we cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. In the hour of our greatest needs, oh God, you won't condemn us, but you comfort us. And we thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said amen. Amen, 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 somebody. So listen, if you are here today and you are not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need that. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That God is holy. That God is pure. We are not. That we are sinners. That God saves us by His divine grace. That we have to admit that we are sinners. We have to admit that we missed the target. We have to then repent, turn from what it was we were doing before. Turn to God. Does all of this happen instantaneously? No, it does not. It's a process. It's what we call sanctification, that God is maturing you. And hopefully you're better today than you were on yesterday. But God is sanctifying you. We repent. We turn from our ways, our sinful ways, and we turn to our new nature, our new way in Christ. We confess our sins. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. The only way to salvation is through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You need to know that and believe that today. If you're here today and you want to know more about this, or you're believing this, listen, we have new member ministry advisors. Our hands are extended of the ushers. There's a new member ministry advisor on the other side of the hallway. They will meet with you. They will answer any questions that you might have, and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're already a born-again believer, y'all, you have faith in Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to some church somewhere. Living Faith Community Church is the church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. We're not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And so if you're here today, you already have a relationship. Won't you go out even now? Arms are extended. They'll usher you to room number one. We'll gather information. And we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're tuned into our online ministry and you're asking, how can I do that? I'm not in the building today. Well, you can do that today. There is a link that's online, even as I speak. Click on that link. There is information that you will fill out. And I promise you, on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we'll welcome you with open arms. Will there be one? Will there be one?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.